Parakat Vav over here, Yechezkel, Yidvar Hashem Elai Lemar, Hashem spoke to me saying, very quickly, what are we talking about? He's going to compare Bnei Yisrael to a grapevine, right, where he can't use the branches for a fire, and it just gets worse and worse if you keep letting it grow. Okay, that's going to be 15 over here, and then he's going to give a muscle to the baby that's rejected by their parents, made beautiful by a stranger, and then the baby rebels against her parents and goes astray, etc. The adoptive parents.
So
see what happens. Ben Adam Maya Eitz Hagefen. What's with the grapevine from all of the trees? The branch that you can find in the trees of the forest, meaning a wild grapevine. Can you take branches from it, wood, in order to do work? In other words, can you use it for tools? No, you can't. Grapevines are not strong enough to be used for tools. Can you use it as a peg to hang something on? No, it's also not usable for that. The vines are just not strong enough. It can be used for a fire. The two ends can be used to be consumed in a fire. The soko nachor in the middle of it can be, it will sort of like remain a little bit. It can't be used for really anything. It's sort of like a grapevine also. It's not good for firewood either. When you are perfect, when it's perfect, you wouldn't use it, right? You wouldn't use it for malacha. Even when a fire consumes it, and it's singed, you would never use it for malacha ever again. It's just not fitting for it. That's just the idea behind what the grapevine stands for. Just like the grape tree that you find inside the forest, that I will put in, make for ish, and it will be consumed. As Yosh Yerushalayim, so I will make those who live in Yerushalayim. I'll put my face upon them, and even though they will be consumed by fire, there will be people that will survive. There will be ish that consumes some of them. You'll know that I'm a Kadosh Baruch when I put my face on some of them and not on others. I will make the land desolate because you have done evil and because you have done so much.
The shortest parak of all time.
Not the shortest parak of all time. Shortest parak?
In
all
time.
It is. Where? Very good. Very good.
This has got to be up there.
The Kuftaz Zayin should be go tell Yerushalayim all of their abominations. Now remember, Yechezkel is not speaking to the people of Yerushalayim. He's not around the people of Yerushalayim. Instead, he's speaking maybe in a dream. He said that's possible, but he's not speaking to them directly. It seems more he's speaking to the people in Babel and telling over what these people were doing so that they could daven for the people of Yerushalayim. So Makorosayach means all of those who live among you, I believe. Moldosayach, those who are born within you. Me'eretz HaKanani, those who are from the land of the Kanani. Yavicha Amori B'imech HaChitis. Your father is Amorite, your mother is Chiti, right? So the idea is, I think, that we're referring to the original Avos.
Avram and Sarah.
Avram and Sarah. And the people of Chais, they gave her the kever, and that's why we call her that. That's an interesting wording about Mori. Why Mori?
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that insulting to Avram? Emor's not. Emor can't they not convert in?
The Pinoske, it's not Pinoske's case, but it's more because they gave her the kever. But
he bought the kever first off, mm-hmm. And they tried to rip, and they ripped them off. That's number one. Number two, the Emor thing. I thought Emor's not allowed to convert into Klal Yisrael, so that's a good insult.
Okay, you know what? Let's go in Pashup Shot. Pashup Shot, forget about Rashi for a second because it's hard to understand what he means by that medrash. For right now.
You heard it.
You're
so happy.
We have to.
Look how happy.
I'm perfectly fine with that. For right now, we have to ignore Rashi.
No. I don't want to do Pashup Shot. I want to go to Midrash.
Okay, but not yet.
Let's do Drush.
Not yet.
No, I went from 4 to
3. Not yet. We'll get there eventually. Makoros Ayakamol Dosayak is referring to the people that were born inside the land. Eretz Kanani, from the land of Kanani, where it was a mixed breed of a child, where the father was an Amori, the mother was a Chiti, and the child therefore was rejected by both. The Chiti people said, we don't want this because the father's an Amori. The other people said, well, we don't want this kid because he's from Chiti.
How is this relevant to us? I'm sure they intermarried all over the place then, but like Jews, okay, so that's the problem.
No, we're giving this as an example. Moldosayach b'yom hu ledesosof. Those who are born on the day that they give birth to them. Lo charas shareich. They're not going to want to cut the belly button cord. They didn't want to wash the child. They didn't set the bones or anything. They didn't even diaper the child. They didn't want to have anything to do with the child. They didn't have any pity on you. And nobody had put their eye upon you to take care of any of these things to have that pity. That's usually open asad. Rather, they threw you, this little child, to the fields. The Goal Sheikh, they thought you were abominable beyond the lettuce yourself when you were born. But I went upon you, and I saw you in the beauty that you had. Even though you were surrounded by filth and blood. And I said to you that through that blood that you had, I will allow you to live, and I will allow you to live. The line is, and this is the idea behind it, that the ugliness of our nation can actually be used to show our beauty. That there are certain things that we do, right, which are questionable, whatever, we don't understand it, but that in itself can show the beauty of our nation, of our willingness to do.
Or is it showing in, historically, listen, you came from, you're a mixed breed, you're a mutt.
Exactly, you're
nations.
Filthy, so to speak, and nonetheless,
none of the nations would have accepted you.
Yeah, think about it. Strangers did not do well back then. If you were a stranger in a strange land, people did not treat you fairly or correctly.
So what was Avram?
So Avram, was a stranger. He went from Aram all the way to Eretz Canaan, went down to Mitzrayim, and then came back to Eretz Canaan. He was clearly not of the land there. Remember, he was kicked out by the Plishtim, kicked out by the Mitzrayim, right? Thrown around from different places. Sodom, we know, was a place that hated guests.
What was Nachla?
That's the idea behind it. Nachla was Aram.
Nachla was an Arami.
Yes, what?
No, I'm trying to think, what's Avram's heritage? Where did he come from?
Aram.
Aram?
Yeah, of course.
I mentioned it.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's an Arami.
No, hold on. He's not Emori.
Oh, Emori's Aram.
Aramian. All the way from, whatever you want to call it, Eastern Syria, Iraq.
You don't understand when you talk about your father being an Amorite and your mother being an Israelite. You act as if your father is from Ashi Amori and your mother is from Benoit State because your actions show that's where you come from.
Yeah, I guess that. I guess that could work. I think that's really the pshat on Rashi as well. That Rashi is trying to say when he's saying Avram and Sarah.
That Rashi says is Harat Ba'od and Miknanba, which doesn't really make sense because what was Sanhedrin Mandal and Beth? Because he came from Okasti. How would they move from Canaan to Okasti?
Well, there is a medrash that Avram Avinu came to Eretz Yisrael three times. That the first time was with Terach, because it does say at the end of Noach that Terach left to go to Eretz Canaan.
Terach and his forefathers came from Canaan. That Canaanite.
Right. Can I see that Rashi? Where's that Rashi?
Yeah.
Rashi. Where is it?
That's what I was thought. I thought Avram came from Yisrael and then picked up Bavel and got to stay with over by Bavel and then he went back.
No, I was thought he was from Canaan.
No, he ended up in Terach because of Migdal Bavel. They all went over there.
Wasn't born yet.
Yes, he was. Avraham Avinu was around by Migdal Bavel, right?
He was, yeah.
Right. I thought he was born in Israel, then he ended up in Oregon.
He would have been about 48 years old at the time of Migdal Bavel.
They went over there for Migdal Bavel.
Yeah, Migdal Bavel was 1998. He was born in 1948. He would have been 50 years old.
At the time of Migdal Bavel. Yeah, he was around.
All the changes in 1988, too.
I know, it's crazy.
Wait, so Terach is an Arami.
Terach was for sure an Arami, yeah.
Okay, Nachla is an Arami.
Yeah.
He's an Arami.
That Rashi, I'm not sure about.
This is a hard Rashi.
We'd have to look in the Sanhedrin. Yeah.
What's his mother?
We'll have to look up there.
So,
we don't know anything about her, but her name was Amaslai. It's from Baba Bas with Sadi Al Abadar. Hers was Amaslai Bas. Carnival is the right one. Which one's the other one? The other one is Haman. Amaslai Bas.
I
think Carnival is.
No, that's the one. The Gemara says is Avram's mother.
The one right next to it is a Masafa. I thought carnival, amaslai, MS, lie, which both means the truth, one in Hebrew and one in Aramaic. Lie means truth. Talk.
Well, that's confusing, isn't it?
I'm not worried about what it is. Let's see what it is. About,
I'm gonna let it just... You know what? Can you grab a bavas really quickly? Because that also bothers me. Let's just get a whole shot here. Reveal her my little
shark.
Go tell the Jews, your father is an Amori, your mother is a Piti. Amra, Ruach Pusuk Haskunis Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yibarishon. And Yavo Avram Esar V'Yamdu Lufnei Echa. Ata Amalahem U'Maslam Osam. If Avram Esar would come in front of you, would you say that to them and embarrass them by calling them Amorites and Chitim? Rivcha Richa Riv Es Reyacha Besod Acher Alta Gael. Okay, so they said, fight your fights, don't get involved with that. Don't get involved, don't say these types of things to the people. And look what Rashi says. Abiko Amori, Tara Va'avosav Miknan Ba'u.
So it's a Rashi explanation. So Rashi just quoting his own explanation on the Gemara over here.
Saying that that's that from Amori, yeah.
But he's saying that it came from Canaan.
Ruach Haskonis, by the way, the Ruach Haskonis over here is Gabriel. Atakore Amori, the Peter, you do that Rivko Riv Esreyacha. You're going to give them Musar, give them Musar themselves. So to Avram and Sarah, I'll say, do not reveal the secrets of Avram and Sarah, Levazosam, to embarrass them. What are you going to do when Avram and Sarah come in front of you? What do we do wrong? They are making fun of us. Gabriel of the Roshus to do such a thing? That the Gemara asks. Those are the names that Gabriel has. What an unbelievable line. This, by the way, is in Perek Yud Zayin, where he says you're those people.
Well, so the Aramim were the original people in Canaan.
It's strange. No, Aram and Amori are different people. They are not the same person. Yeah, Aram and Amori are totally different people.
No, I understand. Who is the original people?
Amori is one of the sons of Mitzrayim. One of the sons of Mitzrayim.
No, I understand. Aram, who is the Aramim?
Aram was Yafes.
Yeah.
I don't remember from where. Really? One of the sons of Ashur or related to Ashur.
Wait, if Aram is one of the sons of Yafes, then how does Avram trace his lineage back to Shem?
You're correct. Amaslai Bas Urvasi is the mother of Haman. Bas Urvasi. Karnavo is the one that's named for Avram. I cannot remember the name of Urvasi. It's Orav is in a raven.
Yeah. I'm very confused there. If Aram is a son of descendant of Yafes, then how is Avram a descendant of Shem?
The people move. People move from one place to the other. How did Terach get there? How did Terach get to Aram?
No, but you're saying Terach is an Arami.
Yeah.
Right? That comes from Yafes.
I don't know if he was directly father. Without a question. Aram?
Aram must have come from Shem then.
Am I wrong? Is that Shur from Shem?
Hey, don't you have
Shur from Shem? Oh, we have Tanakh.
Yeah.
We'll find out right now. Do we have those?
It's kind of a relevant point, I think. What is Avram? Where does he come from?
Well, we know we have it straight from Noah. We know where he comes from.
Right.
Here we go. We got Aram is the final son of Shem.
Okay.
Elam Ashur Pashad Ludin Aram. Right? And he gave birth to four kids, Uz, Hul, Geser, and Mas. Mash. But either way, that's not where Avram comes from. Remember, Avram comes from, what's it called? Shem, Arpachshad, Shela, Aver, Peleg, and then... Re'u, Sarug, is that it?
Aver.
Here, it's right over here. Re'u, Sarug, Nahor, Terach, Avraham. So he wasn't directly from Aram. He would have lived in the land of Aram. Lived in the land that Aram had, yeah. Where his cousins were. But that's where he went into. But the point behind this is exactly what you were saying before when we were getting to this pasuk, just taking us off topic a little bit. The bris mila that we say is we take the blood that's surrounding the kid and we say that's what's beautiful. The fact that we're willing to do something even though we don't understand it, and in fact, we look at it and we call it archaic or disgusting. Like, how in the world could we do that to a little kid?
Right? So
this is what allows us to live. The blood that we spill of our own children is
b'demayichayi. Right?
Yeah, we use this line at the Seder itself, not in the double line, right? But we do say b'demayichayi v'almalach b'demayichayi. All right, revavah ketzemach hasadeh, we say this as well, right? You grow like the grass of the field. Chazal tell us, and this is in a medrash, that the Jews that were hidden in the ground by their parents sprouted up like grass from the ground when the Egyptians went by. They sprouted up like grass and came back to the Jews. You became many, you grew great. You came with all the different crowns and all the beauties. Your breasts were ready. Your hair grew. Even when you were naked and bereft of all the mitzvos that you had. Okay, so that's again, the child grew, right? I took care of you, meaning this, I took care of the orphan child, right? And I let you grow. And you grew up beautiful. You grew up beautiful and everything was done. I passed upon you and I saw thee. It's your time. It's your time to find your beloved. And I spread out my wing upon you. I covered up your erva. And I swore to you. And I made a bris with you. Hashem Elokim, says God. And you became mine. So I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the one that took care of us, the one that took us off the street, the urchin off the street, wants to marry us now. I washed you off in water. I took away all your blood. And I anointed you with oil. And I gave you embroidered clothing. And I left tokash. And I gave you takash skins as your shoes. This is the famous passage, by the way. This takash was the non-kosher takash. It was a very, very, like a spotted or a beautiful creature that was around. They translated it as a genet or a kivet, C-I-V-E-T. It's like sort of like a weasel-like, cat-like creature. Genet or kivet.
Badger.
I'm sorry?
I have badger.
Badger, okay, like a beautiful, you know, that's a weasel-like creature as well. Yeah, in the same muscle-like family.
Most expensive coffee in the world is...
honey badger is actually really
is, nice. Comes from the coffee that the kivet eats, and then... No.
Really?
The kivet eats it, and then it defecates it, and the fermentation process in the stomach
that allows it to go through. You see
the picture of it? Creates the most expensive coffee.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. There's some really nice pictures of them. They're really nice.
C-I-V-I-T.
I don't know how to pronounce it. It's either kivet or civet.
Civet.
Yeah, civet. It says that, and it says b'ach b'sheikh. But by the way, that's one of the proofs they say that it must be that the tachash is not ganus for all time. The Gemara in Shabbos and Chafetz Chaim says the tachash was ganus. So they say, what do you mean? They had shoes, right? Obviously, there were tachash shoes out there. Clearly, there were. They say, no, the kosher tachash was gunus. The non-kosher tachash, we don't know. It was an animal that was just made for the times of the Mishkan, disappeared afterwards.
How kosher that here is going to be tachash.
Could be the tachash something else that we know about.
So then the tachash comes from the sea.
Yeah, that's the obvious one. You can also say it's some type of embroidery, something beautiful. Anyway,
that's the
same.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? I covered you up with linen. And I covered you up with silk. And I gave you lots of jewelry. I put bracelets on your hands. And like a
chain around your neck, right?
And I put a nose ring on. And hoops around your ears. And a crown of splendor around your head. And I gave you gold and silver. And I gave you all this linen and silk and embroidery. Souls and Rosh Hashemen, fine flour, honey, and oil, a cult. I let you eat, but Tifi Brolod, you became very beautiful. But Tifi Sakhim and Maluka, you became so Matsuya, you became like a queen. So again, this is all what that person did for free, right? Maybe for ulterior purposes that he wanted this as his wife, but nonetheless, he did it on his own. The name went out for you among all the other nations about your beauty. It was entirely you. From all the beauty that I put upon you, says God. that. Okay, and again, these are referring to the Jews in the muscle sense. You were assured in your beauty. You had very big self-confidence. And you were mezaneh over your name. And you poured out your znus upon anybody that passed by, meaning you started worshiping other idols, but in the muscle, it's you started sleeping with whoever you thought was proper for you to be with. You took from your clothing, and you made it into piles of clothing, of whatever it is, and you were mezaneh on the clothing that I gave you. It never could be worse than that. How in the world could anybody have thought to have done such a thing? That you take the clothing that I gave you or mezaneh out of it. You took the clothing, your splendor, from the gold and the silver that I gave you, and you made male images. That's his nibon. And you slept with those male images that you made. You didn't even go together with a man. You took your embroidered clothing and you covered it up. And you took my oils and my ketores and all my spices, my besamim, and you put it in front of them. The lachmi, and my bread that I gave to you was fine flour, and the oil and the honey that I made you eat, and you put it in front of them, as a sweet smelling spice, that's what was. You took your sons and your daughters that you gave birth to me, and you sacrificed upon them to eat them. Because they minimized your ability to have more znus. You shechted my own children. And you gave them over to pass them by to those idols that you wanted to give them to. All of your abominations and your znus. You never remembered the days of your youth. At the time when you were naked and bereft, at the time when you were filled with blood all over. After all that evil, meaning before I had adorned you when you were taking care of yourself. After all that evil. Woe to you, new Hashem. You built for yourself a hill, right? And you made it higher than anything else in the streets. You built it up on all the different starts of the roads, and you made abominable your beauty. You opened up your legs to anyone who passed by, and you continued or increased all of your znus. You went to the people of Mitzrayim, your neighbors, Gidlei Basur, the people that you grew up around originally, the people that rejected you in the first place, so to speak, the people that they were slaves in. Even more so, lahachis, just to anger me, because it wasn't out of taiva anymore. I turned my hand upon you, and I took away a lot of your what do you want to call it over here? Your not your rules, but it's really like I took away your. Really, like, you give a guy an allowance. I took away your allowance.
It says diminished your rations.
Your rations, yeah, that's what I wanted. Like an allowance that I gave you. And I put you into the souls of those who hate you. The daughters of the Plishim who are ashamed of your zima dikaways. You had this with the people of Ashur. That did never satisfy you. You had this with them, but you never were satisfied. You went to the land of Canaan, to the Chaldeans, is that what we're referring to? Yeah, that's weird, because the Chaldeans are definitely not from Eretz Yisrael, right? That's definitely not going to be there. But in other words, you made an amalgamation of the two idols, one from the Chaldeans, the Chaldeans, and one from Canaan, and put it together. How destructive is your own thoughts or your heart's new Mashem Elohim, says God. You're doing all these things as a woman who is a prostitute would do. With your daughters, you lifted yourself up. You built yourself up on the head of all the roads. And you made these heights upon all the streets to allow everybody to trip on them. You weren't even like a zona to appraise her own gifts. You didn't even take any gifts. You did it for free. Aisha in the office, Taksi Shah, a woman that adulterates under her husband, Tikach HaZorin, she now takes strangers, the whole Zonos Yidunede, right? For all the Zonos out there, they give a strange word, but you gave your gifts over to anybody who loved you. But you Shachdiyo, somebody you bribed them, Lavoy Life, to come upon you from all around with your Zonos. But you bought, hey, from me, the Nashim, there was a destruction. You had no, hey, it was the opposite from all the other women when you were mizani yourself. Nobody else turned with you. No other gifts were given to you. It became the opposite. Where at the end of the day, you became so cheap that people wouldn't pay for you anymore. Therefore, O Zona, listen to the word of God. Because you poured out all of your. Yeah, but Nechushtech is usually referring to Azus. Just making sure that that's the wording over here.
Because your bottom was poured out.
Bottom was poured out? It's the bottom of the tanur. The word Nachash also is used as Azus. I like that word also. But either way, regardless, because you poured it out, it's Galer Bafit, and your Erva has been revealed to Sazun Sayach al Mabayach when you were Mezani yourself on all those who love you, Al-Kugulu Sol Vasayach, and all the idols of your abomination, Achidme Banayach, Shirasat Lahem, and all the bloods of your children that you allowed them to have, Lachin. Therefore, I'm going to gather together all of your loved ones that you dealt with, and all that you loved, and everything that you now hate. I'm going to gather them around you from around. I'm going to reveal your error to them. They're going to see everything about you, meaning all of your secrets, all of the hidden things, all of the riches that you have. I'm going to judge you as I would an adulterer. And those who murder. Or is that take a dam chema v'kina? I'm going to put among you the blood of anger and jealousy. And it's yourself, I'm going to put you into their hands. They're going to destroy your heights. And they're going to knock down all of your big streets. They're going to strip you of all of your clothing. They're going to take all of your splendor. You're going to remain naked and bereft as you once were.
Well, it's kind of like the whole cycle. Like, it took you out of Mitzrayim. You were downtrodden. I gave you all these things. Then you went and you used it for your own thing. So now you're back to where you started.
And this is the gullus that you're in now in bubble. Very good. I'm going to bring upon you a whole nation. They're going to stone you. And then, I don't know what that word bitchuch means. Pierce you with their swords. That makes sense. That does make sense. They're going to burn your houses in a fire. They're going to do judgments against the Lady Nashim Rabbos in front of the many women to show that nobody else should do the same. You will then end your zonos. You will no longer give or take any gifts. And then my wrath will abate.
Isn't Etnan specifically a gift
for this nos itself? Correct. And my kina will turn away from you. I will be silent at that point. I will never be angry ever again. Because you didn't remember the days where you angered me with all these things. I put you upon this road. You did not do anything more evil than your abominations. You no longer did what you once did. Right? Anybody who rules upon you will rule and say, like the mother, right, so too the daughter. Right? All the kids are going to be the same. The daughter of your mother, you are the same person. That you rebelled against her husband, but now all of her children. The sisters, your sisters, Asher Gualu and Shehen, that discussed or made discussing all of their men, Ubnayan, Imchen Chitis, Vadichen Amori, your mother, who is a Chiti woman, your father was an Amori, and Bachusecha Gedola Shomron, your older sister, the Shomron, obviously the Bnei Yisrael, who had already been exiled for years and years, she and her children, your and her children that sit upon your left, then there's your younger sister, sits on your right, Sodom and her children. What does that mean? What does that mean at all? Why would we bring up Sodom? I mean, definitely we know that they were in the east, but that's still strange. We bring up Sodom. There was never a point where the Bnei Yehuda were at Sodom on their right hand side. I get, maybe it's the line that you should have learned from Sodom. You had a constant look at the Yam HaMelech, and you never learned from it. You saw what happened to Sodom, and that you never understood what happened. You saw what happened to Shomron. You never learned from it. They went into Golos. That city was destroyed, and yet you never learned from it. Could that be it?
It says that your forefathers were extremely righteous, but you didn't. The Sodomites became Sodomites.
So what do you have? But it's not so. Your father more was did not learn from their goodness. Instead, you learned from the lands from which you came, from around there.
One explanation is Kimola always refers to the north.
Okay.
All right. So when he says your older sister in Shomron and all of her
that makes sense, right?
And then your younger sister. I don't know why it's referred to as younger sister, but maybe like you said, it's like look at to the south.
Yeah, the land right next to you. I think that's the obvious shot. I think that's going to be there. Where he says Darkein Malakos, welcome to first meeting in school. Yeah, same thing. Nothing more. Right, the obvious shot. That's got to be it. That you didn't learn from it. It's just weird they call it your sister. Maybe because it's just in the same land. That's got to be it. But look at their kind of locked. Right, you didn't even go in their ways because all of Santa ceased, right? And their abominations, right? You didn't do. Kimat cut. It was like nothing in comparison to what you did. You did worse in all of your ways, which is really weird. They would have been worse than Sodom. I don't think Sodom and your sister, she and her daughters, ever did what you and your daughters did.
Yeah, Radak says that the reason they were worse, so to speak, than Sodom and Gomorrah.
Wait, read the next pasuk. In Isaiah, Avon Sodom Achoseich. Here's the sin of Sodom, your sister. Gaon Sivas Lechem. Right? They were satisfied with bread. Veshavas Ashkate, and they lived very tranquilly. Hayala, to live no sand for all the people around. That's funny, by the way, because the War of the Four Kings had just happened in Sodom. Was captured and destroyed. Remember?
Destroyed or was
Sodom was the five kings. I mean, they were all captured. See, they were living tranquilly. So now they were living tranquilly. Because by the time of the four kings, Sodom was under fire for 13 years.
Or the story of Sodom's destruction that happened.
5 or 6 or 7 years, depending. Very hard to understand that line over there. They were living tranquilly. But maybe it was. Maybe tranquilly for 5 years is tranquilly. Maybe back then that was. But either way, Yad Oni Ve'Evyon Loach Zika. They did not take care of the poor, the destitute. But you've done much worse abominations in front of me. Asur Ashen, Kasher Easy. I removed them like I showed you. Right? Shomron, B'chahati Chato Sayach, Lo Chato All. Shomron, like half of your sins they did not do. V'tabi Yisuvo Sayach. You have increased your abominations, Ve'Hena, from them. But and you made righteous your sisters in all of your abominations. In other words, Sodom and Shomron look like tzaddikim in comparison to you.
Radak seems to say that the reason for that is because you would have lasted longer, spent more time.
That makes sense. Plus, aside from that, it seems very obvious that aside from all the time that they had, right, there were other things that, simply put, the Shomron never did because they didn't have a Beis HaMikdash among them. These Jews had the Beis HaMikdash, and yet still they sinned. That's the Pella. There should be more than that. That the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash should have saved them and it didn't do anything for them. That was the Pella. That how did they not learn from it? That makes it much worse. The closer you are to Kedusha, the more blamed you are for getting involved in Tumah.
But it seems that the sin of Sodom wasn't that they weren't proactive in helping the Ani.
Mm-hmm. Meaning that's their Iker sin.
Right, meaning that there is a few to help somebody who's an Ani.
Correct, correct. We definitely know that there was a Rias involved, because we know what happened in Sodom toward Lot, right?
Right.
But similar to what happened by the Mabul, that the Arias were there, but the final din was
right.
Written on Hamas,
right.
Same
Mabul
thing over here.
The proactive sin. Here, according to this pasuk,
it means effect to yourself.
Here, that's an actual effect. Here, you could interpret it saying they sat back and did nothing to help.
Yeah, very good call. Very good call. Since when are non-Jews required to give tzedakah? No, I remember this question. Well, Chaim Kineski was asked this question in Derech Sicha. That's a question of Parshas Lech Lecha. I don't remember what he answers, but I remember that question being asked. I have that somewhere. I know that question from somewhere.
They'll get a bear for giving tzedakah.
For what?
They'll get a bear for giving tzedakah.
For giving tzedakah?
Yeah.
Giving tzedakah is a mitzvah. What do you mean?
You said we're not just tithes to give tzedakah. You're saying, are they obligated?
No, but they're obligated. Do they get punished if they don't do it?
Right.
That's the question. We're punished if we don't give tzedakah, but are they punished if they don't give tzedakah? That's the question over here. So we're going to say, Gam at si ikli maseich, lift up your shame, shekilav lachol seich, that you did for your sister, v'chatzaseich, that you made good for your sister, v'chatzaseich, with your great sins, shereisavta mehen, that you did even worse than they did. Tistakta mimech, you become more righteous. Gam at boishu si ikli maseich, you're embarrassed, carry your shame, v'chat keteich ach yoseich, when you made your sister look righteous. Shati yishvis hen, as shvus sidom obnosel, and I will return, I will heal the land of Sodom and all around that. Interesting. The Shus Shomron and Benosah and all the Shomron and the people around it. Shus Risayach B'Sochana. Right? And your own as well. I'll return the people of Sodom. That means there will be no longer be a salt sea. Right? I will return the Shomron and I'll return B'nai Salt. Interesting. What if there's no salt sea by the end? By the time Mashiach comes, let's say all the water dries up and there's literally nothing left. Then what?
Supposed to do that thing where they have a...
They're trying. They're trying.
But Mitzvah Dovid says that they also had dead gaiva. That Galon Tirazan, they had so much gaiva with all the money they had, they couldn't...
They couldn't handle it. Good. Matizi klima says you should carry your shame and echlam to mikol asher atiz. You should be ashamed of everything you've done, benachamecho son, when you consoled them for what happened to them.
Is there an avera for Ben Ahav to have gaiva?
No, definitely not. There's no avera technically for a Jew to have gaiva. It's just that midos. It's like that's the hachana for Torah, but there is no actual sin. Right? They sit to your east. They sat. Oh, not to the east. They were there before you. Right, and you and your daughters, they will sit. No, oh, what's the word lekad mosen? How is it translated over there? What do you guys have it as? It's in front. Is this in front? First, Sodom is going to sit in front, then the Shomron, and then yours.
Okay.
Return to the former state. So that's going to be the order, maybe. Sodom, your sister, will not be a shmua in your mouths on the day of your pride. Before it was revealed your evil, right, at the time of the degradation of the daughters of Aram, all the people that are going all around you, you carry your abominations in your zima. You did what you did. You embezzled, however you want to call it. You got plunder, and you were made for the bris. But I will remember the bris, the covenant that I made with you in the days of your youth, and I will make it for you forever. You will remember your ways. You're going to remember when I took your older sisters, to the younger sisters. I'm going to give them to you as your daughters, as helpers, even though they won't be part of your agreement. Really? The people with Shomron wouldn't be part of the agreement? Why aren't they? They're still Jews.
No, but it says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it says
there is a Gemara that says that. That's definitely true. But nonetheless, they should be, right? The people of Shomron, I mean, the 10 tribes... They're not going forever. Nobody says that they're trying to go forever. There's one opinion. It's Rabbi Akiva, isn't it? It's Rabbi Akiva. It goes up against Rabbi Yudim Becerra. Yudim Becerra says you lost your chesed. We have to find it. I mean, it's toward the end. It's the second to last mission of Sanhedrin, I believe, around Kuf Yud. Aseret HaShvatim Einat. I got it right here. It's Kuf Yud Amud Beis. Aseret HaShvatim Einat Atzidin Lachzor. 10 Shvatim will not come back. Shema V'yash Lachem Alar Zacharis Kem Azeh.
Someone says that they're merchandise.
Wait, Mahayom Holich Beino Chozim, Afhim Holchem Beino Chozrin, the Aseret HaShvatim will never come back to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Lozim Akiyom Azem, Mahayom Mapil Meir, Af Aseret HaShvatim Shafeu, and Kachasid El Hayerlam. It's crazy stuff. Right? Aseret HaShvatim Einlan Chelik Ulam Haba, says the Gemara, to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yudi, Ish Kvarako, Omer Mishum Rishimon, Imasen Kiyom Azem, and Chozrin, etc., etc. And Amr Rabbi Yochanan Shavka, Rabbi Kiva, Lechasidu Sehel. Rabbi Kiva left alone his Chasidus. How could he say that about the Aseret HaShvatim? And then he goes on and they say how they did come back. You're right. That would be according to Rabbi Akiva. That would be an interesting little line. Lahalacha, I don't know what we go with, right? But Rabbi, I would assume really we go with Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbi over Rabbi Akiva.
I mean, we'll wait and see. Like, what is?
Well, the question is whether remember Yirmiyah did bring back the 10 tribes.
Yeah, well, that wasn't explicit.
You're right. But that would be an answer to the question, right? According to Rabbi Akiva, that can't happen. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it did.
Well, no, maybe no. But that wasn't an actual redemption.
Yeah, no, he's talking about the people who were completely lost. Even if he brought some,
okay, just remember. There's a whole shiloh about this, but the Gemara asks, how was their yovel in the times of Yoshia? and the Gemara answers that Yoshiya had Yovel because Yirmiyah brought back the 10 tribes and Yoshiya ruled over them. Not all of them. There's no question he didn't bring back all of them. But of the 10 tribes he brought back, enough so that the rove of Bnei Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael to be able to have Yovel.
Who were like Jewish already. Like people probably already assimilated a lot of them.
You assume so because of Babel. From what we saw, but there must have been some pure Jews, and those are the ones that Yirmiyah brought back.
The 10 tribes, they already were worshiping Yehovah Zara. They got exiled.
Yes, that's definitely true. Remember also, Yechezkel brought back the dead. According to one opinion of the Gemara, there are four different opinions. One opinion of the Gemara is it was the Saras and Shatim that he brought back.
All 10?
Not all of them. But he brought back, a substantial amount.
Ephraim, the one
that's another opinion, Shevet Ephraim that ran into the Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we have others. Let's finish this off over here. I don't like that word v'lo mibriseich, that they're not part of your bris. I can understand that Stom isn't. I just would have assumed that the Eretz Yisrael are.
Maybe
you're
talking about a different bris.
Yeah, nakamos anisi brisi itzach. I'm going to establish my bris with you. Yadav kani Hashem l'man tizku yovosht. So you remember and you'll be embarrassed. V'lo yalach od pishon pem yimnei. You will no longer be able to open up your mouth because you are so ashamed. Right? When you get atoned for everything you didn't do, Mashem Elokim. All right. Parak Yudayim. Ben Adam. Chud Chido Mishal Mashal. Chido Mishal Mashal. Obeis Yisrael. Yeah, we should probably go through it. What do we have over here? Parak Yudayim is a mashal. The eagle knocks down trees. The grapes grow and rebel. This is a reference to Tzidkiyah rebelling in Nebuchadnezzar and losing. Right? From the weak, the weakest person there will be Mashiach. That's what's going to happen over here. So let's see what happens. Yidvar Hashem Elokim. Ben Adam. Chud Chido Mishal Mashal. I want you to make a riddle. Stay over this mashal. Obeis Yisrael. Amar Zekol Mar Hashem Elokim. Anesher Agadol Gadol Knafayim. A large eagle. One with huge wings, right? Erecha Aver Malei Hanoitza, right? Very long limbed, right? Malei Hanoitza filled with feathers. Ashalo Rikma. He has Rikma, a beauty. Yeah. Baal of Anon, he comes over to the Levanova, he talks to Samarisa Ores, and he takes over like a massive tree, right? And that's the idea behind it. Rashi says, Kolnofa Ilan, Timu Mashal, Shahigla, as Yo Yakim of Giborov. Yo Yakim, all of his strong men were all taken away. That's Roshini Kosov. So who's the Nesher? The Nesher is referring to Nebuchadnezzar? Is that what it refers to? Yeah, the Tzameres HaRozim is referring to what's it called? Malchi Yehuda. Yeah, the eagle's Nebuchadnezzar. That's what it refers to over here. As Rosh in the coast of Katov, right, is the top, the greatest ones among them, right, he cuts off. He brings over to Eretz Canaan, the Ir Rochlim Samo, and he puts them into a city of traders and workers and whatever it is, and that's referring to Babel. But he comes out, he takes from the seed of the land, and he puts it into the fields of Zara. In other words, he plants Yerushalayim. Kach al mayim ravim tzapzaf hashemo. And he took something which is, planted by a lot of water. They call it tzapzaf. That's a type of hadas that is not kosher to use on Sukkot. Yeah. Vayitzmach. Vayila gefen sarachas. It grew. It became a huge, smelly grapevine. Shiflas kaima. It lowered in strength. Lithnos deliosav. It wasn't able to turn to be able to hold its trestle. A love b'sharash of tachtov and all of its roots underneath the EU. Vayila gefen. It became that grapevine. Vatas badim and it made branches. Vatishlach poros. And it sent out many branches from one another. Vayinesher achod. Gadol gidal knafayim. There was a massive eagle that was huge with great wings, Rabnota, with all these feathers. Vayinesher gefen azos. Kofna shorasha alav. So this grapevine, what did it do?
It yearned.
I'm sorry?
Yearned toward him.
Yearned toward it, turned toward him. The Leos of Shochlo, and it sent out its trestles. Lashko so saw to feed it. Nerubas mata. Oh, I see. He saw another eagle, and he looked at Mitzrayim, and he said, "Mitzrayim, come help us." So the Jews that were in the land, right, they reached toward Mitzrayim to try to get it to help. Al sadatov amayim rabim hi shesula. In a good land, in a full of water, it's planted. Lasos anaf lasis parilios legepen adaris, in order to be a very strong tree. Emar, call Marashem. Now I want you to say, this is what God says. Titzlach. Hello, do you think you're going to be successful? Hello, Shorasha, you not take. The roots are going to be cut off, as periyikosase, and all of its fruit is going to be cut together or trampled upon. Yavish kol tarpe tzimcha tivash. Yavish, it's going to dry up. Kol tarpe tzimcha tivash. All of the little plants are going to dry up. Lo bizruah gedolu v'amrav. Not with a mighty arm or a lot of people, and also some Shorasha, to carry it up from their roots. Vinish suha hatitloch. When you plant it, do you think it's going to be successful? Lo kegaz baruah hakadim tivash yavosh. As soon as the eastern wind hits it, it's going to dry up. Aruga Simcha Tivash. Aruga Simcha Tivash. It's going to dry up around the areas where it originally was planted. That's the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to say, that this community that you were hoping for, that's going to be saved by Mitzrayim from the Nebuchadnezzar, is going to die. Yidvar Hashem Elai Lemor, Emor LaBeis HaMeri, tell over the bitter people, the people that are so bitter, Alo Yidat Ma'ila. Right? Don't you know what this is? Emor, Hine Bam Melech Bavel Yerushalayim. The king of Bavel is going to come to Yerushalayim. He's the Nesher. Yikach HaZmalki is going to take the king, Bestel Rehan, all of his officers, Yavir Yosel Yilov Bavel, and he's going to bring him to Bavel. Yikach Mizar Meluki is going to take from the children of the king, Yichos Yito Bris, and he's going to make a bris with him, Yavir Yosel Ba'ala, and bring him into an oath. That's Elea Aret, this must be from Sidkiyahu. He's going to take Sidkiyahu's kids and take them as captives.
Yep.
And then he's going to make a bris together with Sidkiyahu that he should not rebel. And he brought him in. And he took the strong men of the land. So that the kingdom of Sidkiyahu would be a lowly kingdom. It should not be any higher than it is. And keep its bris to stand as it is. But nonetheless, Sidkiyahu rebelled. Trying to send messengers to Egypt. To give him horses and a lot of people. Do you think it's going to be successful? Do you think you're going to escape from all this? Do you think it's going to break the bris? In place of the king that was reigned, who was mevazeh the Allah that he made with Nebuchadnezzar, that man will die in Babel. And that is what happened to Tzidkiyahu, as we know. He died in Babel later on. Paro will not bring a huge army and a lot of people into war. Bishpok solo b'minos dayek. That was Moshe Rabbeinu to kill a bunch of people. Pasuk Yirches, who baza Allah lahafir bris, he was mevaza that oath and made for the bris. Meaning nothing yadu b'chol la'ila also lo yimalek, he will never escape from it. So that's the end of that idea. Yitzchak chen kol marsham alakim. Chai ani im lo alas yasher baza. Right, my oath that they destroyed a bris yasher hefer and asati v'rosho. I am going to put it on their own heads and their own blame. Afrasi alav rishdi. I'm going to put my net upon them and nisvasim sudasi. They're going to be captured in my trap. Tavio siu bavel, and I'm going to bring them all to Babel and nishpati. And I'm going to judge him for the evil that they did against me. All of the people that run away in all the different ways, they're going to die by the sword. All those that remain will scatter to the winds. You'll know that I'm God, that I have spoken these words. I took from that great strong tree, referring to Bnei Yisrael, and I'm going to start cutting off the little soft. I'm going to plant it at a very high mountain that's Solul, that's going to be sort of like an area of a road. Har Marom Yisrael Ashtalenu, in a high up place, Bnei Yisrael, I will plant you. In an area where you never thought you're going to be able to survive, that's where I'm going to put you. And also, Anaf Asapari, there will be branches, they'll make fruit. Vayel Erez Adir will be a very, very strong cedar. Shachnu Tato Koti for Kokonav, all the birds, all the winged creatures will come from there. Vitzel Deliosa Tishkona, they will come into the shade of all of its trestles. Vieru Koati Asada, all the trees of the field will know Kani Hashem Yishpalti Itz Kavod, that I knock down the big trees. Hipati Itz Shuffle, I can also make big the small tree. Hovashi it's long. I might have dried up the tree with tons of moisture. I can also make the dry tree become fruitful. Ani Hashem, I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu Divarti Yatzizi. I speak and I do, and that's what's going to happen over here. That I promise that this is what's going to happen for everybody around here. That's Parak Yitzayin. Okay, Parak Yirches, Pasuk Aleph. What's Parak Yirches over here? Parak Yirches is, their father is a tzaddik while the son is a rasha. Don't worry, because the grandson is going to be a tzaddik. So that's what you say. I want everyone to do tshuva, and if not, they'll die. Malakam atem moshel mizomashol zeh. You false prophets that are saying over these mishol mizomashol lemor in the land of Yisrael, saying, Abba yoch lebose, the fathers, they'll eat the unripe grapes. Veshini abonim tikeno. And the children's, the son's teeth are going to be, what's the word? Hakeshinov. Blunted?
Mashed?
Yeah. Like, sit on edge?
Set on edge.
I don't necessarily like that. I guess that. But Avos Yochel Boser is that Avos do bad things. Shein Abanim Tikena is that the teeth of the sons will be embittered because of it. Right? You'll never tell this mashal over any soul ever again. It's not like the fathers do sins and the sons are being punished for that. I have all the souls by me. The soul, the father, the soul, the son, it's all by me. The only one who sins will die. If the son does not deserve the punishment that the father had, the son will not die. It's only if the son continues in the father's ways, which are evil, that's the only way it's going to happen. What's up, Dave?
But do we really, don't we see instances that the son is punished, like, regardless?
We have two psukim that are spheres in the Torah. Lo yimsu avos abanim, lo yimsu banim alavos. So the fathers will not die for the sons will not die for the fathers. We also have poked up on avos abanim, al-shleishim, al-ribayim, right? That we do remember the sins of the fathers on the sons. And the Gemara answers, if the sons continue in the ways of the fathers, then yes, the sons will end up having those punishments that the fathers had, and it'll be even worse.
That's counterintuitive.
Because it gets further. What's up?
Because if they're following their fathers, they don't know any better. Their fathers are.
That's a good call. You always got to think that way, and you always got to say, well, wait a second, was it really their fault? At that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can answer that question. I gave them chances to do tshuva, and they didn't do it. Now, I can't answer that, because I have no idea. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say, but I gave them tshuva.
It's harder for the child to do tshuva.
But he knows. You know what I'm saying? He's doling the punishment out.
Right.
He knows whether they deserve to get that punishment or not.
He still knows what's right and what's wrong. It doesn't matter if you're continuing a legacy or not.
But I do hear B'nai Mitzkana, from our point of view, punishing the son who didn't know, I hear it. No, I definitely hear it. Do I blame an egalitarian reconstructionist, you know, temple, right, that has a bunch of people in it? What are those kids supposed to do? Well, they have no idea. They have absolutely no idea. No clue, right? How do we expect them? Now, again, I'm not God. Maybe God said to them, but I gave you this sign and that sign and that sign and that sign, and he didn't do anything. Again, but for us, yes, those would be ridiculous signs. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu did give them a sign which was clear as day. We're not going to know it. Maybe they know it.
Also,
and if they didn't,
clear as day to change something that you don't even know about. It's not like, oh, I think this is my break. This is my break. Which one? Oh, okay, that one. You don't even know anything about the alternative.
I don't want to speak for anyone. I know myself. Yes, there have been signs in my life that clearly indicate that God is in charge. Like,
okay,
yeah.
Fine.
But see, you know what I'm saying?
Did it introduce you to an idea that you were completely foreign to?
Well, no, but, you know, not completely foreign to, but something that I didn't necessarily want to do and it was hard for me. Yeah, of course. Of course. And I think that exists by everybody. The question is how much. And again, I'm never going to blame anybody. I'm not going to look at them and say, you should have had the sign. David, come on. How did you not see the sign? Because I have no idea. Maybe you didn't get the sign. There was no sign. And maybe this is what you're supposed to be from a Kaddish Baruch Hu's point of view. And that's exactly it. You are the best that you're supposed to be. Maybe that is it. I have absolutely no idea. And therefore, I never blame, never look at somebody, never expect anything more. But on a Kaddish Baruch Hu's part, he might. And that's what he's saying. A son will not die unless he sinned, unless he did something that needs to be punished for. As a side note, this is part of Eov's whole conversation with his friends. Remember that. Eov's whole conversation with his friends was the friends were telling him, you must have sinned because there's no way God would do this. And Eov said, I didn't sin, and I can't understand why this is happening to me. That was the whole problem. At the end of the day, that's what Elihu tried telling him. There are plans that are beyond our imagination, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu does them in order to get something better.
Isn't it still contradictory, though, that the son has to sin in order to receive the punishment of the father,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't necessarily start with a blank slate either.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he has no margin for error. Whereas,
no, it's worse as time goes on. That is correct.
Why?
Think about it from yourself. Although it's not exactly the greatest muscle, but think about it from your own point of view. If you go on in a certain sin that you know is wrong, but you just keep doing it, it gets worse as time goes on. An addiction does not get better. It gets worse as time goes on. So think of it as, I don't mean to say it this way, but think of it as a crack baby. The crack baby is already born with those issues. It's born that way. So therefore, what can it do? Again, I'm not God, so I'm not defining what could be. But a Kaddish Baruch Hu has a plan even for that crack baby who's starting off at.
So is the punishment not necessarily spiritual point of view, rather the fact that they're starting off at a lower level in and of itself a punishment?
That could be a punishment, yeah. How to get himself out of that position. How does a person who's born in a terrible, terrible situation, his schooling is never going to be up to par, right? Living in an area where everybody is murdering and killing and whatever it is, how do you get out of there? How do you get out? That's the biggest issue that you could possibly find in certain communities, right? Yeah, and that's one out of a thousand, right? And what about the others? Or a great rapper, a tremendous rapper, right? And usually with rap, usually comes the other issues that come along with it. I'm just saying, like, these are not answers. These are just getting involved with the question. So there is no answer to that. How do we know? This is in our Kaddish Baruch Hu's hands. Now he says, Ish ki et tzadik, v'asam mishmer tzedakah. If a guy does mishmer tzedakah, l'harim lo afal, he doesn't eat the meals of the mountains of the Avodah Zarah. V'enav lo nasal gilulei beis Yisrael. He doesn't put his eyes upon the idols of Bnei Yisrael. That's Yisrael lo timei. He doesn't get involved with his friend's wife. V'el ish es nida lo yikrav. He doesn't go near an isha nida. V'ish lo yoneh. He does not afflict other people. V'chavalos echov yashiv. He returns any pledge that he gets. G'zeil lo yizul. He doesn't steal. Lach malo rai v'yitain. He gives bread to the poor, right, to the hungry. V'erim yichas abaged. And he covers up those who are naked. V'nash lo yitain. He doesn't give ribbis. Sarvis lo yikach. He doesn't take ribbis himself. Me'avol yashiv yado. From evil he turns away his hand. Mishpat emes yath. And he does mishpat emes. Bein ish lish between one and the other. V'chuksai yaleich. He goes in my chukim. Mishpatai shamar. And he keeps my mishpatim lasos emes. To do the emes. Tzadiku. Chayo yichya. Such a man will live, Numa Shem Alakim. The Holy Ben Paritz, let's say he gives birth to an evil son. Shopech Dam Ma'asa Och. Right? He kills people, and then he makes, like, fire pits. Me'acham Eila, one of these things. But what's called Eila Lo'asa. Right? He doesn't do anything. He goes up to the Avodah Zarah, as Israel Timei, and is Metame, the wife of his friend. Aniv Avion Hona, right? A poor person he afflicts. Gzeilus goes, all he steals. Kabbalah Yashiv, he doesn't return. Kalajvel, Gilulah Nasa Einav, and he turns toward the idols. Torah Vasa, he does abominations. Benesh Nasa Mesabis Lakach, he does rivets. Nokoi. And yet he still lives. Oh, by the way, look at Toeva also in Pasuk Yud Beis. You see Rashi? Mishkaf Zohar. Interesting, right? There are other abominations that are mentioned over there. I've always wondered, when you say the word Toeva, you know, there are other things that are mentioned as Toeva. Having wrong weights in your house is considered Toeva. But there are other riots that are mentioned as Toeva.
Meaning that it seems more like he did a deed, didn't just have the wrong ways. It seems like there was more of an action.
That's interesting, because there are arayas that are known as Toevas, not just Mishkav Zohar. Which one? Sister, I think it is. Girl in Nida is a Toeva, that's right. Interesting. Alright, anyway. Yeah, as Kol Toevas Eili also. So
that says that Toeva also is Jacquard of Nida, because that would correspond to the first topic.
Which makes sense. I just find it interesting. Rashi, Nochoi, Lo Yichya, it's called Toeva Ze'ila. Also, he did all these abominations. Mosu Mos, he's got to die. Dama Bo Yeh, his blood is on his own head. The Holy Ben, but don't worry. And here's the answer to the Shaila. Even though this great tzaddik that never did anything wrong had that child that was an evil child that did all this bad, that child will give birth to a child. Vayaris Kol Chatzosav, he's going to see the sins of his father Shirasa. Vayir Eh, Velo Yasa Kahain, he's going to fear them and not do them. Ala Harin Lo Achol, he does not go to the mountains. Ve'inav Lo Nasal Gilu Beis Yisrael. Israel team and the Ishlo Kona Chavalukabal Gzilu Gazulach Malarig Nelson the Aaron Kisa Beged May Ani Ishiv Yadu Nesarav Islo Lakav Mishmati Also Bekuzai Halach Hu Lo Yamos Ba'avanavi Koyo Yichet. He will not die by the sins of his father. He will surely live because this person, right, did what he was supposed to do and stayed away. I'm sure he had a hard time. What's up?
The son has a son who's a Russian. His son.
Look forward to the grandson.
Look forward to the grandson. That's not black and
white. Never a guarantee. Never a guarantee. There's never a guarantee.
Eliphaz.
We've had a good chance to be a tzaddik. Eliphaz still learned under Yitzhak Avinu. Unfortunately, Eliphaz had Esav, but Eliphaz still was a man who was conflicted within himself. He didn't kill Yaakov, even though Esav told him to. He took his money. It's an interesting Eliphaz. That's a good call, though. Aviv ki oshek oshek. His father, when he did oppression, gazel guzal och, and he did all these stealing, thievery, and whatever it is. Bashir lo tov also, he did all these bad things. Mesochem up among his people, he made bavonu. He died in his sin. Vamartem. Madulin also abein bavonav. So why doesn't the son carry the sin of the father? Abein mishpat tzedakah also. Because the son does mishpat tzedakah, chul says shemar liyasel son. That's why he's going to live. So if the son does not follow the ways of the father, he'll live. It says a nefesh chotesi samus. sin, the soul who sins will die. Bein lo yizav avan av, the son will not carry the sin of the father. Ba'av lo yizav avan aben. Tzidkus zedek alav tiyeh, rishus of rasha alav tiyeh. The tzidkus of the tzaddik will remain for him, and the rishus of the rasha will remain for him. How many more psukim do we have over here?
Yeah, a bunch.
Okay, we're not going to be able to make it. So let's stop with Chaf Aleph right over here. I'm sorry?
It's
called the tshuva.